topic of the shiur today. So we'll put the title on the shiur after we finish. Moshe Chaim asked me to touch on some issues of leftover food and Graf Sharei, Masha Kazeh, Shiver Kalim. Okay, so there's a lot of Muksan Shabbos, also a lot of Nerlet. So Nerlet is when an item changes its status on Shabbos into something new. So that's called Nerlet. Rabbi Shimon says Nerlet is not a problem. Yehuda says Nerlet is a problem. Nerlet Gomer, even Rabbi Shimon agrees to it, is Muksa. But Nerlet, regular Nerlet is not considered Muksa according to Rabbi Shimon. That's why we pass it by Shabbos. By Yom Tov, however, actually we pass it by Yom Tov, that Nerlet is also on Yom Tov. Nerlet is Muksa on Yom Tov. One of the examples of Nerlet is if you take a foodstuff which starts off with getting a Shabbos as a Michael Adam and changes it into a Michael Behemoth, it changes into Michael Behemoth, that would be considered an issue of Nerlet. So on Yom Tov, that's going to be problematic. It's going to be problematic on Yom Tov if it changes something from Michael Adam to Michael Behemoth. So an example, that would be you have a steak. You eat all of the meat of the steak, and you're left over with just the bones. So bones are not, someone that said that there's not something which a person could break open and eat the marrow. There's no marrow inside, whatever it is. So something you would give to your dog to chew on. So it went from being a Michael Behema, Michael Oven to being Michael Behema. That's a problem. That'll be problematic on Yom Tov. Another example of that, which is brought down in Halacha, is Pirurim. Interesting halacha by Pirurim, Pirurim Pachal Mikazayas, that Pirurim Pachal Mikazayas get a din of Muksa. Now, try to so we pass on Shabbos Harim LeKlavim Klibim Shabbos Harim LeMichel Behema Prim Shein Behem Kizai is Mutal Avir Me'al Ashulchan, because they become Michael Behema and therefore they're not Muksa, they have a use. However, it is true. The next step of the halacha is, but if it's not even Roy the Michael Behema, so then it's going to be Muksa even on Shabbos. So someone says B'Klal not Roy, it's going to be a problem of Muksa even on Shabbos.
What's Pirurim?
Pirurim are crumbs. Now, this halacha of Roy the Michael Behema, so that's in Sif of Zion. If let's say you have something that's not Roy the Michael, even the Michael Behema, that becomes Muksa on Shabbos, because now it's taka, has no usage at all. So the problem isn't Noel, the problem is it's nothing. But then he comes along in Chavtes and he says, so if it's Roy the Michael Chai V'Oif HaMetsuyim, you can move it. If it's not Roy, if it's only Roy to a Michael Chai V'Oif, which are not common, so if you own that animal, then you can move it. If not, you can't. Comes along the Ramah. The Ramah says that therefore you have at Tzumas which broke off of the Basar, that if they're Roy L'Klovim, so it's mutter to move them because klovim are mitsuyim, dogs are common. The question is, which comes up nowadays, is we have neighborhoods where dogs are not common. Or alternatively, this is the question which comes up, if nowadays the derech is not to feed certain types of bones to dogs because they're not healthy for the dogs, and ask your vet and they'll tell you you shouldn't feed chicken bones to the dog because it's dangerous for the dog, etc. And if people actually have to stop doing that, it's no longer called Roy the Michael Behema. So then it'll be Muksa. So nowadays, it's a good argument to say the chicken bones are probably problematic at the muksa. As long as any meat left on it, even less than a kazayas, it's not muksa, because it's bottled to the meat. Well, if you totally eat every single, pick up every single piece of meat off of that bone, like a wishbone or something of that sort, you're left with just the bone. It's not Michael Adam, it's not Michael Behema, so it's muksa. Pirurim. Another example of that is klipim, which is nutshells. Or eggshells. Nobody eats nutshells or eggshells. There's not a person or animal which we have around the neighborhood which eats them, so they're muks. So what are you allowed to do with them? So the Machaber says in Shinches Sifcha Zayin that you can menaras a tavla behem loifim. You can shake off the table and they fall to the ground. And that's what you're to do. So you can do near. A. Option A.
We weren't clear when we learned that. Can you do near not for the tzarech of needing the makom on the table? Because we talked about being magbia the tavla. Over there, he's machalik between if you have a piece of bread on there, or if you need, or if you don't have a piece of bread on there, you need the table. When it came to near, he didn't mention anything about it being the tzarech the makom on the table.
In general, Chazal were makel the nakuda of these halachas over here. Betzim represent a kulam inside Chazal. And the kula is because I'll recognize the need for a person to have a clean place. So they gave you some etzes of how to do it. So near is mutter. Now, if there's pas al shulchan, which would be much more common for us, is I would want to. Is she allowed to move it agav the pas? And that's a chiddush, you know, that this thing of agav moving something agav pas is not, you know, normally mutter, but they did it over here because of the tzarech. If you have a tzarech over here, so what's the heter? The Mishnah Berurah says the heter is that so if a person would take a plate, let's say a person wants to get them off the table, the person sweeps them into a plate. We'll talk about how they sweep into a plate in a second. It's tethered with something which is non-muksa in the plate. So you can then carry the plate with the muksa and the non-muksa to the garbage and then shake it out over there. So a person can take a plastic fork, so then you can just throw the whole thing into the garbage. You have to worry about saving the fork or not if you don't want. Another example of that, which is in the Gaya, is a dustpan. So you have it on the floor, so you want to sweep up that it's on the floor. So sweeping the Shiburo holds. The Tiltal Yedei Debarachar applies to using a knife to scrape it off of the table. Now, you have to know that not everybody agrees to that. Tazanish has problems with that. That's not Tiltal Yedei Debarachar. Tiltal Min Atzad is where I'm focusing on A and B is coming along for the ride. Over here, I'm actively moving it just using a knife, which is an extension of my hand. So that should be problematic. The Maaseh the Tazah is mutter. The Shabura follows the Tazah is mutter, so that I can scrape it off with a knife onto the plate, etc. Carrying the plate, that's tilt of a head. The only eight is I have something else on the plate. So the same thing, sweeping the floor is tilt of a tzad according to this, using the broom. But once I have it in the dustpan, and I want to carry the dustpan to the garbage, I'm going to have the same problem. I should drop something into the dustpan to make it move it to the garbage.
Wouldn't it be a problem also sweeping, doing a kosher ele kachila?
What, if you make a big pile out of it?
Yes.
Are you making a kosher ele kachila? I don't know if you sweep it. I'm not sure if it has a dinner of kosher ray on the floor or not. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
There's a difference between using the broom and holding the dustpan, though.
Yes, the broom is considered indirect, and the dust, according to the Shabur, and the dustpan is considered, I'm directly carrying it. That's like the item which is made to carry it.
So you have to add something to it? That's
you should have something non-muksa on the dustpan.
You can't assume that there's something non-muksa in there?
Well, you see is dirt, so...
If it's, you know, the dirt, crumbs, etc. Those are crumbs of muksa. Now, I do want to point out that Remis and Karelis does say that during the meal, crumbs are not muksa. Calls them on, you're still eating, you might pick up the crumbs and eat them, they're not muksa. It's only once the meal is finished, and therefore you're not going to eat them anymore. Let's save the crumbs, let's have them for the next meal. You know, we don't do that. So that's when they get a dinner muksa. They only get a dinner muksa at the end of the meal. But during the meal, a person might pick up a little crumb, a little something to stick it in his mouth. I mean, that type of thing. We all do that. You know. So now he also points out, second interesting point that he points out is that Mezoinus, he says, is more kulodic than bread. He says bread because bread's main function really was to sustain a person. For sustenance, it gets too small, it becomes insignificant. Whereas cake, which its main function is for enjoyment, etc., even a small little piece of cake, a person might pick up and eat. See, he holds that cake, less than a kazayis, does not become muksa. It's only pas, specifically pas, less than a kazayis, which comes muksa. Interesting twist of that is matzah crumbs are bread crumbs. Matzah crumbs are a major issue when it comes to that, little pieces of matzah, etc. So you have to be aware of that on the table. So the once you finish the meal, theoretically we could die. Yeah, it's an interesting question, which I haven't figured out. So the argument is because you can still eat them during the meal. So if I would clean off the table during the meal, so the crumbs aren't muksa. As soon as I clean it off, cleaning off the table with intention to take them to the garbage, I'm saying I'm not going to eat them anymore, so then you should become muksa. So I'm not sure you get anything by doing it during the meal or doing it after the meal. The other Eitzah Mishnah Berurah says if you have a large amount of that, which it makes it miyus, so the Eitzah Mishnah Berurah, then it gets a din of Graf Shorei. So Graf Shorei, the classic example of Graf Shorei, because Al Ramater carrying the tsoya out of the house, the chamber pot. Graf Shorei is a chamber pot. And because Al Ramater that the tsoya, covered all in the Ramater that. The law of Graf Shorei is extended by the Gemara already. Or gives a case of an example where there's a drip coming in, the drip is making the ground all muddy, etc., and the person finds that uncomfortable. It's nowhere near the level of discomfort that you have with Graf Shorei. The classic, the more calls it a Graf Shorei. So Graf Shorei is not limited dafka to these extraordinary, disgusting things. So first, it finds it, you know, finds it, you know, that it's something which really bothers him. I don't, you know, the average woman say, you know, all this leaving chicken bones on the table, on a plate, just leaving it there is going to bother her. So that's, you know, that would be the equivalent of a Graf Shorei.
So any kind of psychological stare against the Graf Shorei.
Right. You don't need, you know, I mean, again, within what's called normal. I mean, you know,
so like that child asked everybody, what's that clog in the sink that we had, right? I had to stick my hand in there and move it around to get to go down through the drain. The fact that my sink is piling up with water, that also would count.
You know, that's a situation, the hair and stuff like that, it's everything. Hair is muksa once it's off of your head. So you open up a safer, like, you know, you've never had this experience. I've had this experience. Some casino, like, they save their hair, their pay is hair. They don't throw it out. They stick it inside of a safer. It's the most meanest hair. Right. So you know, it's muksa. You can blow it out, but prefer not to the top of the dime. It might have a status of Graf Shorei. So we don't set up a situation of Graf Shorei unless it's a case of Hefsin. So that would be a case of where the case of the Morris example is a case where there's a drip coming in and it's going to damage something. So it's in a room which I'm not there, so it's not Graf Shorei. I have a lot of move in the room with Hefsin to get myself uncomfortable with this drip and the resultant mud and the mess that it makes, to therefore allow me now to do some action to take care of it. But the chachila, we don't do that. What's called a chachila? So a person's eating watermelon. So he has watermelon seeds. The person's eating grapefruit, and he has the little pits in the grapefruit. So you know, leaving aside the burrs, so he'll do it. He'll put it in his mouth and spit it out. I'm not getting involved in Ashkenazim, Sardin, burr issues. What you're allowed to do at a point in time. You know, he's going to end up. So where should you spit it? Right, so if a person's sitting in a place where he's near, sitting, taking a snack in the kitchen, he's right near the garbage can, so he should spit into the garbage can. He should spit on the table and then have to have a need to move it after. But on the other hand, if he's sitting in a room where it's not accessible, he's not mechuyev to shell his nuts in the kitchen. And he brings them out, they're not Graf Shorei. He's not making Graf Shorei. Now he's breaking up his nuts and eating them. Now I left out there was a pile of nutshells and eggshells and banana peels and all the different things which he finds now repulsive. That's not called a Graf Shorei L'chatchila, because when he's doing it, he's not doing it with terrorists making a situation on Graf Shorei.
If you were going to pick up the tablecloth anyway and bring it to the trash can for the mokum of the place itself, so you don't worry about, do you have to worry about any of this? You're not using a heter of Graf Shorei, you're using the heter of
Tilton Mitzah.
Yeah, Tilton Mitzah. Right. So you could create it if you're not going to use it.
Yeah, right. The issue is not making me a thing. The issue is creating a situation where you're going to be makeable based on Graf Shorei, correct?
What about a bread crumber? I heard it was all controversy by the women's share.
With what?
The bread crumber.
The bread crumber is, you know, this little machine which you push, you know, non-electric, which you push it wrong based on creating your negative and positive ion situation. So the cling concept, you know, that, you know, things cling. So it clings to the, it pulls the bread crumbs and the matzah crumbs into the container. At the end of the shir, I came out that I think that's a problem. You know, of course, it was created for Jewish people to use on their Pesach table. That was what it was created for. And Yontif, for sure, it's a problem, because Yontif, you know, Nerla is usher, you know. So it's like, I'm not sure which Pesach exactly created it, but the way I understand it, I think it should be a problem. It's basically, you know, you're in the palace, and then you carry it with things, unless you stick something else inside there, which is not
muxer. Let's say you stick something else inside there, yeah. Put a gumball in there.
If you could, you know, I don't know what the disease is. I've never seen one. It's been described to me. So you would have to do that every time. So while you're rolling it, you know, it could be it's in Tiltum and Atzat. But while you're carrying it, that's the...
So you put a piece of candy in there and just...
You know... Okay, you know, I don't think in the package it should say, you know, only used with candy, you know. It doesn't say that in the packaging.
So what's the etzah for, like, when you have these a pile of, you know, shells or crumbs on your table?
So you can scrape it off with the best way is you scrape it with a knife. So Bishop Ruhl holds it, you scrape it with a knife, and tilt it in the sides. You take a plate and put a little plastic fork in it, scrape it with a knife onto the plate, and take it to the garbage.
Or if you need the place, you could just move the plate because you don't want the plate there anymore. You have to clear the table because you don't want the plate there anymore, right? So if you have it on a plate...
No, but once it's... carrying the plate is what... Carrying the plate with the mukhs on it is a problem because meeker than you should do near. You should shake it off, right? So the only reason why we're allowing you not to do near is because you're doing tilt the... You know, you're doing tilt on the heter, and out of the heter you're getting to the Yisrael. Okay, that's one. Now, I have to tell you, there is interesting sheep. Mr. Corellis, in his Sefer Kutshani, suggests that sweeping with a napkin, using a napkin to brush it off, would also be called tiltum in atzat. So in other words, you don't have to use a knife. You know, knife is very clearly over here. I mean, it's more like you're directly pushing it. I don't know, but he also goes into the near status. He calls that considered near. That's just a kula. Okay.
So if you have chicken bones on your plate, and you want to make room for something else, seconds, Shabbos. So can you take a knife and move them around your plate for the makom of the...
Right, that's the Mishnah Berurah's heter.
And when you... So if you want to walk the plate away to the trash can, everybody just addressed this, why can't you say you're doing that to clear your plate?
But because maker, then you have to do near.
But that'll just
whenever you have muksa,
but that'll just make the house even more gross. Like that
I understand.
Won't help.
So it's
called a tzarech to not do near. If it's gonna, if you're creating a new grash already.
Well, we'll deal with that grash already when it happens. Right now, I have no right to metal to the muksa. If it's grash already right now, it's metal to metal to the muksa. Right?
But I take
chicken bones bother me.
Yeah, but they bother everybody.
Today, to take it to the thing.
But if it's not Groucho Ray, then you have to do near. And can you do near by just taking the plate and dumping it out into the trash? I mean,
Do near on the spot where you're at. If you're right next to the trash, but you
bring the trash next to you, and then.
Well, okay. The next question is, what's the status of the garbage can?
Okay, fine.
Right. So we all it's something become looks in the middle of Shabbos. So Kalim is interesting. Kalim. Which are thrown out. So the relevant kelim are thrown out, which are broken, get a status of becoming muksa if they're thrown out before Shabbos. They cannot lose their status of a keli on Shabbos. So kelim which are broken, as long as they have some function, they have a function, they are not muksa. If you take a keli which is broken, which has a function, throw it out before Shabbos, you just said forget about this function. And so it's right now, as far as I'm concerned, it's not functional. It's not a keli anymore. It's muksa. If it breaks on Shabbos, if it has no function, so then it's muksa. If it has a function, not so the primary function, is a function, it's not muksa. What's the status of? But if a non-broken kli which you throw out, the Pesach says that's not muksa, because that. But the Mishnah says why? Because but the date is a kolodim. Bir Lochan says because but the date. So now the person grapple with what about nowadays if it's normal to throw something out? So I have a plastic fork and I throw it out. Oh, but the is a kolodim. Who would throw out a plastic fork? It's a functioning clay. It's not broken. Well, nowadays everybody throws out plastic forks, right? So the consensus of the, of many poskim, many of the contemporary poskim, Rosh Hashanah and Rabbi Yashiv, hold that it comes muksa. So now on Shabbos it can't become muksa. So on Shabbos because it still has a function, So on Shabbos, it's not a problem. So on Shabbos, your used plastic fork is a great solution for cleaning off the table. So if you have one of these plastic tablecloths, which are disposable, so you have a few, you have mux items in there, you have all the discarded plastic cups, plastic forks, and cutlery, etc. So you can just carry the whole thing to the garbage can without any problem. However, if you throw it out, what's thrown out before Shabbos is mux. Plastic forks which are thrown out before Shabbos, they hold it because they're mux. Because before Shabbos, it was designated as a non-functional item by you by throwing it out. And so the fact that it has a function is irrelevant because you designated it as non-functional by throwing it out. Food, on the other hand, even if you throw it out, if it's edible, even if you throw it out, it never becomes mux. So what's the status of your garbage can? So if you have a garbage can which is empty before Shabbos, when Shabbos comes in, the status of mux starts during Ben Shmoshes. So during the whole Ben Shmoshes time, it's empty, so the garbage can is not a bosses to anything. If you have before Shabbos, your kids have some food and you throw it out into the garbage can, so you have a paper plate and the paper plastic fork and some cups, etc. Well, all those items become muksa. So, beginning of Shabbos, your garbage can is a bosses l'davar aser. So it becomes muksa for the rest of Shabbos, and you can't move your garbage can. If you'd have some food left in one of those things, which is still edible, the kid ate half the kugel, you threw it out, there's half a piece of kugel in there. So in Shabbos, you had edible kugel in there, so it's not mux. On Shabbos, it almost works vice versa. So we hold that something can become a bosses on Shabbos, just it doesn't retain its bosses status on Shabbos. Which means that, it's mechalikas akronim, we hold it that even though we said that the status of buses only is called beginning of Shabbos, so if I have something which on Shabbos I designate to be a buses for muksa, it's a buses as long as the muksa is on there. So much as the buses at beginning of Shabbos, even if the muksa is removed, it's irrelevant. Because it gets the status of muksa beginning of Shabbos, remains the muksa after Shabbos. It's something which during the time on Shabbos where it's in that state, it's in that state. If it's taken off through some system, so then it's not muksa anymore. Because when it's there, it's a problem. So I have my chicken bones and my shells and my eggshells and all these things in the garbage can. I have a problem of muksa in my garbage can. Well, but now the plastic fork is your savior because it was thrown out on Shabbos, so it doesn't become muksa. So now it's buses for Isser and Heter, so it's not considered a problematic buses. Taking out the garbage bags, so on Shabbos, if it's got to the point where it's smelly, etc., so it's grosh ray, you can take it out of your house.
Or overfilled because it's psychologically a shter to see it,
right? Right, so it's overfull, those are grosh ray, and then you can get it out. If that's not the situation, it's not smelly, it's not overfilled, it's time to empty the bag and put a little bag in there. Sorry, a lot of move it. So again, if it has in there non-muksa items, you discard all your plastic, your disposables, which are discarded on Shabbos, they're not muksa. So now your metalto, the Isser and the Heter together, whatever muksa is in there is like carrying it together with your bread. So you take it out to the garbage can outside.
In that case, are you allowed to bring the actual trash can out too? Or you have to take the bag out of the trash can?
No, well, see, assuming that the garbage can was empty at the beginning of Shabbos, or you had non-mukhs at the beginning of Shabbos in there, i.e. some edible food, etc. So then it's not muksa, so you can take the whole garbage can. So then, regardless of moving the garbage can to the table, it really depends on what your garbage can was in the shop. Using that aid. It's also in the game if a person has one of these pull-out drawers, can drawers in their kitchen. You have an issue, the same issue, you have to be aware of that. Now, I was talking to a person, he told me interesting, he holds it, depending on, let's say people, you peel things. So you peel cucumbers, etc. So there's peelers and there's peelers. Some, you know, peelers just get mamish and discarded at the peel. And some, you know, take half of the, some, you know, take half of the actual cucumber with it. So that's not mukhsa, the cucumber, you know. Theoretically, if nobody were looking, you could pull it, take it out, wash it, and put it back on the table, you know, right? That's what he said to me. So he says, he's after one of his daughters actually does the peeling, he actually sometimes does that afterwards because she throws out too much. So that's not mukhsa. So that would be a solution.
Some people have empty garbage bags at even the bottom of the garbage can.
So those are not mukhsa.
Saying would that matter?
That would help, right? That would help, right? So those are not, those are usable items, which are, so they're clean inside the, in the garbage can. I had to ride in the shop.
But it wouldn't help you with the bag itself.
It wouldn't help with the bag on top.
No, it wouldn't help with the garbage can. It wouldn't help with the bag.
Also, how much food do you need? Do you need like a certain percentage or just a small amount?
How should you need a small, I mean, it can't be in infinitesimal, which has no significance. It has to be something which is, for instance, theoretically, it would be, you know, a bite's worth, something like that. You know, there's something there which is edible. Right? Yeah. Okay, let's hold it here. Touching some points over here.